enough, so I think I got the volume turned down enough. But let me read to you the words in an English translation. So I'm going to link to a page that's on the Catholicism.org website where I embedded this video. I have the text of the English translation. The thing is, there's a very bad sort of a Googleese English translation on the YouTube video. If you actually look at the video, it's got the English there. But even the guy who translated it is like putting in notes about the translation, how he's not quite sure if this means, you know, that and so forth. And he says, this sounds way better in French at one point. So I'm going to read you a better translation that somebody mercifully put up in YouTube. Because this song is sort of a cri de cœur, right? A cry of the heart of people who realize that they've been robbed of their tradition. And if you're wondering what robbed them, look up on Wikipedia, or preferably find some better Catholic website with the information. Le Révolution Tranquille, the Quiet Revolution. This was something that happened in the 60s in French Canada, not all of Canada, right? Keep in mind, you've never been there. Canada's very, very separated, right? Very is sort of voluntarily segregated along language lines. And that's normal. I mean, people normally segregate themselves according to language. That's kind of a normal societal thing. It's not weird. So in French Canada, they speak French. Now, most of them know English, but the Anglophones are different people. And the Francophones are very much, their own people. They don't like mixing with the English. They don't like speaking English, even if they know it. But what you'll notice when you're up there is that you're looking at the cadaver of a Catholic society. The cadaver of a Catholic society. It's no longer Catholic. And now the music is done. So it ceased being Catholic in the 60s, in about 1968, with the Quiet Revolution, when virtually overnight, now that is an exaggeration, it took actually years. It was it somehow automatically started again. It took a long time, finally to kick in full, but the Quiet Revolution, as they call it, it wasn't violent. It wasn't like the French Revolution. Compared to the French Revolution, it was nonviolent. But what happened was the political class basically divorced society from the church, and in very short order, you got a Catholic society which was externally, visibly, palpably very Catholic. Think in terms of Alfred Hitchcock's film I Confess. If you've never seen it, it's set in French Canada, or if you have seen it. If you've never seen it, you wouldn't know what to think. But if you haven't seen it, see it. It's worth seeing. It's a good film done by a Catholic film director, and it's called I Confess, and it's one of the many cinematographical uses of the Dies Irae in that film. But you see Catholic Quebec before the Revolution Tranquille in that film. You see how Catholic it is. There are courtroom scenes in that film. And in the courtroom, you see crucifixes. And don't think that was some sort of Hollywood version of Quebec. That was Quebec. That was what Quebec was like. They had crucifixes in public school rooms, in courtrooms, in provincial and federal and local and municipal government buildings. There were ecclesiastical holidays. Holidays of obligation were holidays. So it was a very Catholic society. And around the same time everything's going to pot in Europe in the 60s, especially in 68, things fall apart there. And the crucifixes start coming down from the courtrooms. Politics is completely secularized. And what happens is a total change from a Catholic populace to a completely almost entirely dechristened population. And I mean that. I mean, I've been there. I know people who live there who lament and wail and bemoan the lot of French Canada, and it's like a curse came upon it. Now, we know that it has largely to do with the revolution and the church, but of course, there were forces there that were anti-church long before the revolution and the church really hit. You had Freemasonry there. You had all kinds of movements that were contrary to the Catholic Church in Canada. in French Canada. And keep in mind something about the character of Masonry. A lot of people aren't aware of this, but in the Latin American world and the Franco-American world, just as in the Mediterranean parts of Europe, in other words, in traditionally Catholic places, Freemasonry is more overtly and unabashedly anti-Catholic. So you see this in Italy, you see this in Spain, you see this in Mexico, you see this in Colombia, you see this all over the again, Latin American, Franco-American, and Mediterranean world. In other words, places that are traditionally Catholic. The anti-Catholic character of Freemasonry is much more visible, much more, they're much more in your face, they're much more obvious about it. Not so in the Anglosphere and in the German world. In the Nordic world. Why? Well, because frankly, revolution won there 500 years ago. They don't need to be anti-Catholic because they already won, right? You get it? So in the Anglosphere, the British world, all those places where Britain set herself up as the empire, and in the colonies over here in the United States and in English Canada, Freemasonry doesn't need to show itself so bitterly, acrimoniously anti-Catholic. Why? Because it is the establishment, and the establishment is already anti-Catholic. Get it? Their religion is oftentimes officially Protestant, or officially, as in the United States, the state religion is simply liberalism, as it has been since its foundation. Now, what were those words that you were hearing? So the name of the band is, again, Me'ayu, which means my ancestors. And Mes Ayu, and Degeneration is the name of the song, Degeneration. Here is an English translation. And again, keep in mind, this is talking about the Quebecois. If you know anything about the history of Quebec, and it's a beautiful history, it's an absolutely beautiful history, very Catholic history. If you know anything about the history of it, this will make sense. So it's, and again, it's talking to this generation, right, who are alive today. The song actually was written in 1996. Your great-great-grandfather, he cleared the land. Your great-grandfather, he worked the land. Then your grandfather, he made the land profitable. And then your father sold it to become a civil servant. And you, young man, don't know what to do anymore in your tiny one-bedroom apartment, way too expensive and cold in winter. You get urges to become a landowner yourself, and you dream at night of having your own little plot of land. Your great-great-grandmother, she had 14 children. Now there's a girl being addressed, right? Your great-great-grandmother, she had 14 children. Your great-grandmother had nearly as many. And then your grandmother decided that 3 was enough. And then your mother wanted none. You were an accident. And you, young lady, you change partners all the time. When you do something stupid, you escape trouble with abortion. But sometimes in the morning, you wake up in tears after you've dreamed at night of a large table surrounded by children. Your great-great-grandfather lived in dire poverty. Your great-grandfather only had pennies. And then your grandfather, a miracle, he became a millionaire. And then your father inherited it and put it all in RRSPs. I think that's some kind of a...